In a world full of lies and deception, it takes courage to speak truth. In a nation half-bent on its own destruction, it takes honor to seek a return to glory. Join us in cutting through the lies and propaganda. It's time for Cutting Through the Chaos on the America Out Loud Network. Here is your host, Wallace Garneau.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cutting Through the Chaos on the America Out Loud Network, where we cut through the lies and the propaganda to bring you the out loud truth. I'm your host, Wallace Garneau, and I've got what I think is going to be a bit of a troubling show for you today. I want to spend most of the hour talking about just how bad things have gotten in our country. Before I do, I want to spend just a little bit of time talking about how we got here. The reason that we're where we are. Donald Trump actually said just earlier this week, he said that all of the attacks on Jewish people that are occurring in our country, and they're becoming more and more common, more and more pervasive. There are 16 college campuses that now have pro-Hamas encampments where all the tents are these blue tents or green tents rather that look alike, and actually they are blue. And so we've got all this anti-Jewish people sentiment in the country and anti-Israeli sentiment in the country and pro-Hamas. And, it's absolutely insane. You have gay people that are pro-Hamas not seeming to understand that if they went to the Gaza Strip, which Hamas controls, that they would be immediately stoned to death. The asinine nature of some of this, just, it's insane. But I want to talk about how we got there. When Trump says that it's all Biden's fault, that's not really true. It's not all Biden's fault, but I certainly can see it's all Democrats' fault. It's the political left that is doing this. You don't have a bunch of conservatives running around wanting to attack Jewish people. It is left-wing groups that want to do this. And, you know, Joe Biden needs the votes of these young liberals. And so he's in a very, very precarious position in that on the one hand, he wants to denounce physical attacks against Jewish people and he wants to support Israel. But on the other hand, he's driven by these demonstrations and by the fact that so many of America's youth are now anti-Israel and anti-Semitic that he has to hedge his bet with this. It's kind of sickening to watch, actually. Every time he talks about it, he has his good people on both sides moment, except that if you listen to the entire context of where Trump said there are good people on both sides, he specifically excluded anybody who was a racist or a neo-Nazi or anything like that from it. He was talking strictly about people who were protesting the removal of statues from parks when he said good people on both sides. So when you hear Trump in context, it sounds a lot better than just good people on both sides. When you hear Biden, though, it does not sound better. When you hear Biden in context, it actually sounds worse. And the reason is that he's trying to, on the one hand, support Israel, and on the one hand, to denounce attacking Jewish people, but then he has to immediately change and avoid condemning the groups that are doing that. So whereas Trump said that he totally condemns racism and totally condemns Nazis and things like that, in the same speech that he said there were good people on both sides, and explicitly denounced those that were racist, Biden's taking the exact opposite stance. And what he's doing is he's saying, you know, I support Israel and don't attack Jewish people. Oh, but Hamas, we've got to do more to support them. And the killing of Palestinians needs to stop. And what's happening on our college campuses is protesting is okay and all these different things. So he's got to placate both sides. And he's doing that because he needs those votes. And he is losing the votes of some of those groups. Those groups are going to move, probably not to Trump, but they're going to move to other people. And actually, some of the Muslim vote is moving to Trump because not all Muslims are extremists. And there are a lot of Muslim Americans that are good conservative people that they're looking at what their kids are being taught in school and they're appalled by it. So, no, they want that to stop. And the person who's going to do something about that is in this race, not the only person in the country that would do something about it, but the only person in this race that would do something about it is, of course, Donald Trump. But let's talk about why there is so much hatred in this country. The reason is that we've lost our sense of first principles. What I mean by that is, with racism, for example, my first principle is that racism is evil in all forms. All forms of racism are evil. That is my first principle when it comes to racism. The political left, on the other hand, they've been all about identity politics going back, you could say, 1964. You could really say the founding of their country, of the party, because the Democratic Party was, of course, founded to support and protect slavery. So you could say identity politics has been a part of the left forever, but it's certainly a big, big part of it now. That's all they run on. They run on, don't vote for Trump because he hates gay people. Don't vote for Trump because he hates minorities. Don't vote for Trump because he hates this group. He hates that group. He hates the other group. He hates women. And it's just, bam, he's like, it's all attack Trump because he doesn't like different groups. That's all identity politics. What they're trying to do is they're trying to multiply through division. They're trying to grow the Democratic vote by making everybody hate, particularly Trump, but really they use the same tactic against all Republicans, even though it's not true. And they'll lie through their teeth to do it. And you know, just many people listen to it. And that's what they're doing. But identity politics, you know, that is a form of racism inherently. Now, the position the left has always had, and again, going right back to the beginning of the party, is that their racism is fine, but the racism of other people is evil. Now, they used to hate black people, and that's what the party was founded on. The Ku Klux Klan was the military arm of the Democratic Party after the Civil War. And so, you know, you look where they are today, and now they've got Black Lives Matter, they've got Antifa, so they've still got, it's not the KKK anymore, but they still have a militant arm that they used to great effect. But also, you know, hating white people, and particularly white men, is perfectly acceptable on the left, and you hear that everywhere. Well, now that hatred is spreading to other groups. It's spread to Asian Americans because they get into colleges very well. It's cultural. Asian families, you know, they tend to really stress on a quality education. They tend to focus on STEM areas, and they do very, very well at that. And it's so, you know, that's a successful minority, and the left has a hard time with successful minorities because successful minorities show that white privilege is a myth. Well, it's the same thing with Jewish people. Jewish people are a successful minority. And again, identity politics is based on the presumption that white people look out for themselves and that it's impossible in a free society for anybody else to get ahead. And so when you see minorities that are doing that, it's very easy for the left to hate that. So that's what we're seeing. And I'm not on the left. Nobody on the left asks me for advice. But I can tell you, if they did, I would tell them to pick a better narrative, such that I would tell them that the best narrative they could take is to say that all racism is evil. But of course, if they took that position, they'd suddenly fit in better on the political right. So it's a very difficult position for somebody on the left to take. They've backed themselves into a corner where they could say they're anti-racist, but their anti-racism is a form of racism. Their party was founded on racism. So, you know, what they're doing is they're not saying hate is bad. What they're doing is they're saying my hate is good hate, or my racism is actually anti-racism, as I hate the group I perceive to be in power. Well, if you look at that, the first principle, if there is one in that statement, is hate. Their first principle is based on hatred. It's based on everybody hates you, and so you have to hate everybody. And by fracturing the country into as many groups as possible and teaching them all to hate the country as a whole, they hope to get them all to vote against the country, which means to vote for them. And all they do, if you go back over the course of the history of the Democratic Party, is to change periodically who they hate. And, you know, one of the reasons I think that they hate Christianity so much is that Jesus said to love everyone. And if they loved everybody, they wouldn't really, they say love everybody, but if they actually did, they wouldn't have a platform to run on. Now, if they run on their policies, Joe Biden just announced today that if he's reelected, he's going to have the child income tax credit by eliminating the Trump tax cuts. That's going to affect their voters. That's going to affect the poor. That's going to affect the middle class. And there are other things in the Trump tax cuts that are removing them are going to hurt the poor and the middle class. So now we all got a tax cut from Trump. It wasn't just rich people. And now Biden is saying that he's going to raise taxes on us again, which, you know, of course he is. He wants to increase spending. And even he understands that you can't just have inflation forever. So that's what the Democrats do. And they've been in charge of our public schools for so long now. You know, they're teaching this in our schools. So what we're effectively doing is we're sending our kids to school where they are taught identity politics and where they're taught that their first principle should be to hate other groups. In some cases, to hate their own group. And so, you know, that's where they are. And, you know, somebody comes to me and says, but all the Nazis and skinheads are on the right. I look at him and I say, now, wait a minute here. Richard Spencer, the guy that coined the phrase alt-right, coined it as an alternative to the right. It's not the right. The alt-right is not the right. The alt-right is an alternative to the right in opposition to the left. And the reason they're in opposition to the left isn't because they have different policy prescriptions than the left. That's not the case at all. If you look at what Richard Spencer wants to do for in our country, he's a socialist. If you go and look at the 25 points that the Nazi Party actually ran on in 1929, whatever it was, if you look at the 25 points they ran on, it's essentially the same thing as the Democratic National Convention, except that it also has, you know, stuff that's anti-Jewish and what have you in there. But now all of a sudden you see all this anti-Semitism coming from the left, and even those parts of the Nazi 25 points are starting to look like our political left as a result. And, you know, I would actually invite you to go to the DNC's website and read their official party platform and then compare it to what all these neo-Nazi and racist supposedly right-wing groups are calling for. And what you're going to see is that if you reverse the language such that every time a race is mentioned in the DNC platform, you flip it and you do the same thing on the, my point here is that the DNC's party platform is racist as hell, and all you have to do is change the wording every time they mention a race, just change the race, and you can see that. And not just that, but if you compare it to what the real Nazis are calling for and did call for when they took power in Germany, it's the same platform. So the concept that all of these different hate groups are coming from the right, no. The whole concept that you can defeat hate with better hate is a fool's errand, and that's what the left's prescription is white people, and particularly white men, are hateful, and so we're going to hate them, and we're going to vote against them, and we're going to put all these other fractured groups in power, and by balkanizing the country, we're going to tear it down. That's what they're doing, and they've been sadly very, very good at that, the point that I look at it now, and you know, I tell people the United States of America, as we know it, is already gone, and the chances of us getting it back just by electing Donald Trump again are very, very low. Tucker Carlson was on the Joe Rogan show recently, and he brought up Richard Nixon and Watergate, and he brought up a very, very interesting perspective. He asked Joe Rogan why he thinks that Watergate, why he thinks that Nixon was left office. And he pointed out that Nixon's original vice president, Spiro Agnew, was forced out on charges of tax evasion, and that Gerald R. Ford, who was tied deeply into our intelligence services, then became vice president. And then when Nixon was taken out of office, when he was forced to resign, of course, Gerald Ford became president. And, he made the statement that a number of elected officials had said to him in the past, to Tucker Carlson, that is, that our intelligence agencies have blackmail material on our elected officials, and that our intelligence agencies use that blackmail material to control our elected officials, which is basically what that means, that our intelligence agencies run the country, and the people that we elect report to them instead of reporting to the people who vote for them. And unless Tucker Carlson's lying about that, and I have no reason to think that he is, you know, that's where we are today, where the intelligence services are running the country. And going back to Watergate, he pointed out that when you look at the people that broke into the Watergate building, the Democratic National Committee at the Watergate building, they were all CIA operatives. It was the CIA that broke in and did that. And what Nixon was guilty of was not the break-in itself. He didn't order the break-in. He was guilty of trying to cover it up. That was really what cost Nixon the White House. He went from the most popular president in American history, who won by the largest margin. His re-election was by the largest margin in American history. And 2 years later, he's out of office, and his running mate's not in office. The person in office is somebody with ties into the intelligence agency that was put in office after Spiro Agnew was forced to resign. And then of course, Nixon forced to resign based on a bungled burglary by the CIA. So that was Tucker Carlson's position. That was what he talked about with Joe Rogan on. And that's scary stuff. That's scary stuff. And then you look at what our intelligence agencies do today in terms of having access to every email, every phone call, every text message, every Google search, if it's electronic, they've got it. And so, yeah, they've got the capability of building a blackmail file against anybody they want to, and of releasing that blackmail material to the press, which, of course, they do. You know, you look at a lot of the information that's come out from Trump, for example, how much of that was based on blackmail material from the FBI or the CIA. Is it possible that Donald Trump held back when he was president because of blackmail? I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is that our intelligence agencies certainly have access to any blackmail material that, you know, they could get anybody with it, and that's where they are. So yeah, the intelligence agencies certainly have the capability of running the country. They're turning our country into their own little serfdom, and you know, you and I are the serfs. And it would appear that what the intelligence agencies want more than anything else is control. Now, our political party, one political party, has completely thrown out the rule of law. They've completely rejected it. And we should have seen that coming, because that political party never faithfully interpreted the Constitution. And if a party can't faithfully interpret the supreme law of the land, why on earth would we think they're ever going to interpret anything else with any legitimacy? Now, they look at the Constitution and what they say about the Constitution. They actually say it's unconstitutional to interpret the Constitution based upon what it actually says. They call that originalism, and they say that originalism is not a legitimate way to interpret the Constitution. The way the left interprets the Constitution is that it's a living document, and it should be interpreted to say what we need it to say at any moment in time, which is the same as saying there is no Constitution. What they really want is they want to make the Supreme Court the supreme law of the land, and then we would have a common law system such as primarily exists in England, and we would have no Constitution. They say that people that believe that our civil rights come from God are Christian nationalists, which they say are one of the greatest threat to our country. They list patriots, they list veterans, they list parents who are concerned about what their kids are being taught in school. Now, they're saying that these are the kinds of groups that are the biggest terrorist threat that our nation faces today. Not Hamas, not all of the people that Iran claims to have been able to get into our country where they can do October 7 style events whenever they want. No, those aren't the threats, though the FBI tells us that there's a huge threat from the people coming across our border, and that we're probably facing the greatest level of terrorist threat that we've ever faced, including right before 9/11. That's what the FBI says, but that's not what Joe Biden says, and it's not what the Democratic Party say. They say we're the problem. And our intelligence agencies, again, have whatever information they want on all of us. But I didn't mention, incidentally, when I said that, what party I was talking about. And the reason I didn't mention the party is because if you go to somebody in that party, and I'm going to tell you now, I mean the Democrats, if you go to a Democrat voter and you tell them what I just said, that one party has completely rejected the rule of law, they completely reject the Constitution, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they're going to agree with you. They're going to say, oh, yeah, you're right. The Republicans reject the Constitution. The Republicans have completely rejected the rule of law. And they're going to point to originalism as the way that Republicans have rejected the Constitution. We've rejected the Constitution according to the left by interpreting it based on what it says. And they're going to point to, for example, Donald Trump as us rejecting the rule of law because we're going to vote for Trump. And Trump is guilty of all of these different crimes that he's been accused of. But, you know, that's funny because I look at that and I say, is Trump guilty of anything? And you know, I have Democrats in my family. My entire family is basically Democrat. They consider themselves moderate, but I don't know what a moderate Democrat is anymore. Now, that party is moving left so fast that the people consider themselves moderates. Now, they try to stay in the middle, but the middle's moving at half the speed that the far, far, far left is. And the far, far, far left is moving at such a breakneck speed that if you try to stay in the middle, maybe you're not sprinting, but it's certainly faster than a jog. So the left is moving very, very quickly, and in the middle, of course, tends to move with it. I look at the question of whether Trump is guilty as a bit of a litmus test. If I ask my family about that, my mother, my children, my aunts and uncles, they're all going to agree that Trump is the most corrupt and vile person in our nation's political history, with the possible exception of Ronald Reagan, who they would say is worse than Trump only because he was more effective than Trump. And no, of course, they say he belongs in jail and not in the White House. And, you know, that's what they believe. And the funny thing is that if I ask them specific questions about any specific case against Donald Trump, I learn two things very, very quickly. One is they can't defend any specific allegation against Trump. They don't have the factual knowledge about it because all they've done is look at the headlines. They haven't dug into the specific cases the way I have. So I can debate them left, right, up, down, and debate circles around them on any specific allegation against Trump. But the other thing I learned just as fast is that they're so sure that Trump is an evil, corrupt criminal, they don't really care if he is convicted of something that he did or if he's convicted of something he didn't do. They just want him in jail. And what that says to me is that the left's sense of justice is not based on what people do. It's based on who they are. Now, they put Trump in this bad person bucket, where he's now this evil, corrupt criminal that has to go to jail, you know, damn the torpedoes. He has to go to jail no matter what. And, you know, 20 years ago, they were singing a very different tune about Trump. When Trump was considered himself a Democrat and was giving to all kinds of left-wing causes, you know, he was loved by people that were in were in all these different left-wing groups. The Clintons loved him. Hillary Clinton at one point told him that he should run for office. He'd be a great leader. Of course, she would never say that today, but the left loved him until all of a sudden he decided that he was no longer on the left, and then they hated him. And, you know, the funny thing there is, I get a lot of flack sometimes from other Republicans for saying this, but when I look at where Bill Clinton was in 1992, when one of his campaign slogans was Make America Great Again, and where, and you can find buttons, you can actually buy buttons on eBay that are Clinton Gore, Make America Great Again. You could buy those. It was for sale on eBay. They obviously don't make them today, but they made a lot of them in 1992. You could buy them on eBay. So, you know, that slogan now, of course, is something you're not, left hates. But also, you know, he ran on the era of large government is over. Clinton did. So when I look at where Trump is today, and I look at where Bill Clinton was, not today, but in 1992, I got to tell you, Trump's to the left of Bill Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton's always been a hard-wing leftist. She has always been very, very interested in hard left-wing belief. And so she wasn't. But Bill Clinton was he didn't really believe in anything except, you know, women. So he was a womanizer. And interestingly, that's the one area where the left really does have Trump backed into a corner, is that Trump has been, over the course of his life, a womanizer. So, you know, you could look at that and say, well, he's obviously not a great guy. Look at all the affairs that he's had. Then I look at that and I say, well, you know, John F. Kennedy was a womanizer. Did you hate John F. Kennedy? Or is John F. Kennedy still one of your heroes? Bill Clinton, he was a womanizer. Do you hate Bill Clinton? Joe Biden. Joe Biden has been accused of sexually harassing and molesting women, and that just gets swept under the rug. So what about Joe Biden? Joe Biden's daughter wrote in her diary that him showering with her when she was in her teens gave her sex addiction and was a big part of problems she had throughout her life. Joe Biden's son Hunter, who Joe Biden defends constantly, was having sex with his first wife, along with the widow of his dead brother, along with her sister, along with one of his own underage nieces, which would be the daughter, I believe, of his dead brother's And while he was having sex with all of these people, he knocked up a stripper. So I think maybe we can put Hunter Biden in the womanizer category. And the left doesn't even care about, you know, they don't care about that. You know, you look at Hillary Clinton's emails in 2020. You look at Hunter Biden's laptop Hillary Clinton in 2016. You look at Hunter Biden's laptop in 2020. Still very relevant today. You look at all of the evidence of corruption in the Biden family, of corruption in the Hillary Clinton family. You look at all the evidence that these people are true fascists. And, you know, what does the media talk about there? Do they say, oh, yeah, look at all this stuff happened with Hunter Biden. Look at all this stuff happened with Hillary Clinton. They say, oh, no, the story is, how did they get that information? Was the laptop illegally gotten a hold of? Who released the laptop? How did they get Hillary Clinton's emails? Did Donald Trump tell the Russians to hack Hillary Clinton's server? I got to tell you there, too. It wasn't just, you know, maybe the Russians probably did hack Hillary Clinton's server, along with the Iranians, along with the North Koreans, and along with anybody who has any interest in IT that is past the sixth grade. You know, John Podesta, her campaign manager, His email password was password. This is the kind of security these people had. So, yeah, everybody hacked her server because it was very, very easy to get into. But the left hates Donald Trump not because of what he did, but because of anything he did, because of who he is. And they give passes to criminals on the left because they don't really care what they did. They care who they are. And that is how they define justice, which is, of course, because it lines up with the concept of social justice, even as it does not line up with the concept of individual justice. It's important to note that you can have individual justice or you can have social justice, but you can't have both. See, if you have individual justice and you're going to make laws that you think are just, you're going to enforce those laws fairly and then let the chips fall where they may. If 52% of all murders happen to be carried out by the same ethnic group, then 52% of the people in prison for murder should be that ethnic group, even if they only represent 13% of the public. That would be individual justice. You would have to accept that because we accept that murder should be a crime, and that's what the murder rates tell us. So now, if you believe in social justice, you would look at it and you would say, now, wait a minute here. Why are 52% of all the people in prison for murder the same ethnicity? There's something wrong with this. That ethnicity is only 13% of the public. So how could they possibly account for 52% of the people in jail? And so then you come up with what they call disparate impact, which is now a big thing. The EOC, through the Department of Justice, is equal opportunity, whatever it is now enforcing what they call disparate impact. So, for example, a convenience store chain on the East Coast, I believe headquartered out of Pennsylvania, called Sheetz, is now being sued by the Biden White House for having racist hiring practices. And the racist hiring practice that they are guilty of, supposedly, is that being convenience stores, they don't want thieves as their employees. So they do a criminal background check of all new hires. Before they'll hire you in, once they get close enough to warrant the cost, they will do a criminal background check. And according to the Biden administration, if you do a criminal background check and use that as a part of your hiring practice, that's racist. Interestingly, the part of it that the DOJ seems to take the biggest exception to is the fact that if somebody has just one thing on their criminal record, that they know what crime it was that they were not hired for. But if they have multiple things on their criminal background, then they don't know which specific ones caused them not to be hired. And you know, this is absurd. You would think that having multiple things on your criminal background record would be worse than having one thing on it. But no, that's just me. That's not the DOJ. The DOJ now says that it's racist to use criminal background checks as a part of your hiring decision. But that's not really what they're doing either. Getting back into just how far down the rabbit hole we've already gone, disparate impact is not just something that they look at in hiring. They're looking for disparate impact in anything any company does, in any policy that they have. And since they fracture the country into all of these different groups, you know, you might have a disparate policy that hurts fat people. You might have a disparate policy that hurts double amputees. You might have, you know, you can break it up at any group you want. The point is, that every company is going to have multiple policies that have disparate impact, because everything can have a disparate impact. And as a consequence, the DOJ, through the EOC, can now go after any company it wants, any time it wants, and can label them as racist for whatever reason they want. In the case of Sheetz, they actually went to him initially and tried to shake them down for money, and Sheetz said no. Also turns out that Sheetz is a privately held company owned by the Sheetz family, and that they're Republican and donate to conservative causes as a result. So, you know, they went to them, shook them down, tried to stop them from donating to Republicans, tried to get them to pay a fine, a very large fine, to the DOJ, and then when they say no, okay, fine, now we're going to throw a lawsuit on you calling you racist. We're going to get the media to call you racist, and we'll just destroy your company. So that's unfortunately the route that they have gone. And, you know, frankly, it's sickening. We'll get back into that. But first of all, let's talk about how metabolic dysfunction affects 87% of Americans. And yet most people have never heard of it. According to the NIH, this is when metabolic health markers like cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight go out of whack. Often there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. Heal Right is a ready-to-eat metabolic health bar with a synergistic blend of superfood ingredients to address the nutritional root cause of metabolic dysfunction in as little as 8 weeks without additional diet or lifestyle changes. And if you've been listening to the show, you know that I sometimes struggle to say metabolic. I don't know why that particular word puts me into knots, but I... metabolic, say it right. Heal Right is not just effective, it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. So no more worrying about the side effects of medications and figuring out how to stick to difficult diet and lifestyle changes. It beats metabolic dysfunction. Food can be your best medicine. It tastes like a treat, acts like a medicine, but without the side effects. Step out of the statistics using food as medicine. 7 in 8 Americans are metabolically unhealthy. 6 in 10 suffer from at least one chronic disease. This has got a 100% money-back guarantee and 15-plus years of research developed by world-renowned nutritional scientists. It'll give you measurable improvements in just 8 weeks, including reduced cholesterol levels, your blood sugar balance, reduced inflammation, a slimmer waistline. I might actually, as I take these bars, become attractive again. It gives you good gut health and microbiome health. It lowers your GLP-1s naturally. It is a fraction of the cost of a prescription drug. Each bar contains a synergistic blend of superfood ingredients needed to support metabolic health, including 20-plus essential micronutrients, vitamins and minerals, that is. It has soluble and insoluble fiber, a total of 6 grams, for close to 25% of your total dietary fiber needs in just one serving. It's got omega-3 fatty acids, protein, 6 grams of them, and other building blocks for metabolic health. It's got antioxidants, and it's got only 250 calories per serving, so this is not a meal replacement. It's a snack. You still get to eat. So ladies and gentlemen, try Heal Right today. You've got nothing to lose with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to HealRight.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first purchase. That's code OUTLOUD at HealRight.com. Personally, I use Heal Right to give me back some of the metabolism of my youth. I find that about an hour after I eat a Heal Right bar, which I have not done yet today, that's probably why I'm having trouble saying metabolism, I feel more mentally focused. I also have been able to remove myself completely from cholesterol medications. I'm down to 1 medication today. I was taking just a few months ago, I was taking 5. My wife eats a bar a day as well and agrees with me. Heal Right works. Along with a healthy diet and exercise, Heal Right can make all the difference in the world. And ladies and gentlemen, please don't go anywhere. We're going to get right back into our topic on the other side of the break. But first, we'll give a word to our sponsors.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop and use coupon code Out loud.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-term effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. Fortunately, Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at the Wellness Company designed their spike support formula with the miracle enzyme natokinase, scientifically studied to dissolve spike protein so you can feel your very best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD. Loud for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud for 25% off.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutLoud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Okay, how bad is it? I can show you sources from within our own government, such as the National Museum of African American History, that openly and proudly claim that the scientific method was created by angry white men to control the world, and the scientific method should be discarded as outdated and racist. Let's talk about fact checkers. Let's talk about facts, period. One political party, postmodernism in general, I shouldn't blame just one political party, there are probably some postmodernists on the right, but postmodernism has completely taken over the left. And postmodernists believe that since we all sense the world around us through five, or perceive the world around us through five imperfect senses, and those senses have to be interpreted, and since there are a nearly infinite number of ways to interpret any of those senses, what they say is that, you know, there's no objective way to choose one interpretation of those five imperfect senses over another. And as a consequence, what they say is, you know, there's no really such thing as knowledge or truth. We all have our own perceived truths and what we all consider our own knowledge. And there's no objective way to choose one set of truths or one piece of knowledge over another. And as a consequence, what they say is, you know, you don't know truth. You feel it. And you'll hear people talking like this, you'll hear them say, you know, I feel this, and they'll make a factual statement starting with I feel, and you know, they're espousing this belief that we all have our own truths and our own knowledge, and that there is no way to choose one over another. That's postmodernism. Postmodernism, incidentally, was originally an art. I never was a fan of postmodernist art, but that's where it started, and it should have stayed there. After art, it moved into English classes, where people began to say, you know, each word is multiple definitions. And when you start taking words and putting them together into sentences, the number of possible interpretations grows exponentially based on each word having multiple definitions. And as you start taking sentences and putting them into paragraphs, the number of possible interpretations grows more. As you take paragraphs and put them into chapters into books, you have a near infinite number of ways to suddenly interpret the book. And none of them, there's no objective way to choose one over the other, and as a consequence, they're all good. You know, basically what they say is if you take all the letters out of a Scrabble box and throw them on the floor, you've got a library. That, of course, is absurd. There are a number of ways you could legitimately interpret, for example, Moby Dick. But if you read Moby Dick, two things are going to become very clear. It's a kind of a textbook for whaling on the one hand, and a story about the white whale and Ahab's quest to kill it on the other, and written through the eyes of a man named Ishmael. It actually opens up with "Call me Ishmael." So, you know, yes, each word has multiple definitions, but that does not mean that there are an infinite number of ways to interpret a book. No matter how you slice Moby Dick, it's a book about whales. The concept that there is no objective way to choose one set of interpretations over another is wrong. There are a fairly narrow band of possible interpretations that are legitimate. Anything outside of that is bullshit. But that's not what the postmodernists teach. The postmodernists teach that there is no objective way to choose some interpretations over other interpretations. And as a consequence, they say that there is no truth. Another important factor that goes into leftist thinking stems from Stephen Hawkins, Richard Dawkins said that there's no such thing as free thought, that we are mere meat machines, our brains are computers, nothing more than that, and we are simply complex enough in our brains to think that we think, but we're actually fooling ourselves. The reason he said that is because he's an atheist and he had to admit that there is no natural scientific explanation for free will or free thought. So what he had to do is he had to come up with the concept that there's no such thing as free will or free thought. So if we take these two concepts, that there is no free will, there is no free thought, and we take the concept postmodernism, that there is no truth, then all of a sudden we start understanding the leftist vision. The leftist vision being that we are all empty vessels that can be completely controlled if we simply control our programming and our data. The programming, that's our DNA, can't control the DNA. But the data can be controlled. The data is everything you know, everything you learn, and everything that you experience. The reason that these two things are important is because once you take away agency, which is what that concept does, it takes away agency. It says that you didn't really choose to do anything that you did. Once you take away agency, you can suddenly say that a criminal didn't want to commit the crime. They were programmed to do it. They had data in them that caused them to do it. And since they don't have agency, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to punish them other than possibly if you can't fix the data, you need to segregate them away from the rest of society so they don't harm people. But it does the same thing when you do positive things. If you start a business, well, that was unearned privilege because everything under this concept is unearned privilege. You don't control your programming. You don't really control your experiences. You may control your knowledge. You may think you do, but again, you don't have any agency. So everything becomes unearned privilege. And all of a sudden, there's no reason for one person to have more than another, even if they earned it. And there's no reason to blame somebody for a crime they committed. And this is the thinking that leads to, for example, not having bail, that leads to not processing crimes if there's a disparate, if the crimes are being committed in a way that prosecuting them would have disparate impact. All of these stupid things that are happening on the left. Then you throw in the idea that there's no truth and you let people that believe there's no truth be the fact checkers. And, you know, what they're doing is they're saying, if we fill this data into these people, they'll behave the way that we want them to. And since we don't believe in truth, what we believe in is getting this data into these people. And this data can be completely lie, but it's important to get them in these people. You and I, by the way, are a part of these people. Our children are these people. And so that's what they're focusing on, is controlling the knowledge that the public, controlling the information that the public has access to as a way of trying to control us by denying that we have agency, treating us like computers, and trying to control the data that we have with a vision toward making us do what they want us to do and a complete disbelief that any such thing as truth even exists. They don't believe they believe that there are morally superior truths, and those are the truths that they try to run on, and of course their morally superior truths are the ones that they try to use to destroy our country, because our country is built on individualism, and our country was built on the concept that you're allowed to keep what you earn, and that you're responsible for your actions, and they can't abide by that. There's only one thing that we can all agree on at this point, which is that Hitler was a bad guy. But even here, the left can't seem to get their details right. They call Rand Paul, for example, adjacent to Hitler. My kids called me adjacent to neo-Nazis because I said the Federal Reserve causes recessions. Well, I don't know if neo-Nazis believe that the Federal Reserve causes recessions, but if they do, they're wrong on a great many things. They're not wrong on that. But this is the kind of thinking that they use to link Rand Paul to Hitler. It's kind of like, well, Rand Paul has a German shepherd. Hitler had a German shepherd. Therefore, Rand Paul is adjacent to Hitler. I can't tell you how wrong that thinking is, but this is the kind of thing they do. And since they don't really believe in truth anyway, they don't have any problem doing that and then censoring people that give out accurate information to try to say that's not the case. But the point is, they can't seem to tell if Hitler was a totalitarian dictator or a libertarian, which is kind of the opposite of a totalitarian dictator. The left agrees that Hitler killed 6 million Jews, but suddenly now they want to kill another 7.2 million as they chant from the river to the sea, because that's how many Jewish people live in Israel, 7.2 million. So now you've got people actively on our college campuses and in our cities blocking bridges, literally calling for the extermination of 7.2 million Jews and then calling other people Nazis, as absurd as that is. They claim that the KKK was never their militant Democrat force while putting together Antifa and Black Lives Matter, which is funded by George Soros. George Soros used to be in bed with China back in the 80s. Don't know if he still is, but China funds these groups. And you know, the one thing that they can all seem to agree on is the concept of taking down our country. Let's talk about voter fraud and voter suppression. Our country actually has a long history with that. Democrats in the South used to use all kinds of voter suppression techniques to prevent Black people from voting. They would make them pay to vote when they didn't have it was difficult. You know, they would prevent them from getting jobs and then try to make them pay to vote. They would have taxes. They had all kinds of things to try to keep Black people from voting. But in every case where actual voter fraud and suppression ever happened in our country, it was done by the Democrats, the party of hate, the party of identity politics, the party that was founded on that. We forget that the Democrats and Republicans used to be one party called the Democratic Republicans. It was Thomas Jefferson's party. They fractured over the subject of slavery. The Republicans broke off to fight it. The Democrats broke off to try to preserve it. Well, we can talk about the question of whether a man can turn into women. Is gender fluid? This is, believe it or not, a very important political question, maybe the most important political question of our day. Why? Because we all know the answer to that question is no, men cannot turn into women. If you're born a man and you want to wear a dress, more power to you, but you're a dude in a dress. You don't just magically become a woman. But here's the thing. If our leadership can make the public believe things that the public knows are not true, at that point, we are owned, because it becomes a moral imperative to the believers. And it becomes a moral imperative to believe things that you're told to believe. And all of a sudden, belief becomes akin to a cult. So COVID, for example, all the things we were told about COVID that weren't true, but you weren't allowed to disagree. We're not allowed to question the 2020 election. We're not allowed to question the 2024 election, even as we watch these bullshit cases against Trump being brought up. He's being paraded in front of an endless line of banana courts, and we're not allowed to question that. We're not allowed to question climate change being the greatest threat our nation faces, other than right-wing extremism and Christian nationalism. This is all bullshit. You know, they're actually... Well, they say that Christian nationalism is the belief that our rights are bestowed by our Creator, or the rights that morality comes from our Creator, that morality and rights don't come from either the Constitution or the Supreme Court or our legislatures. When they say that, our country was founded on the concept that some rights are inalienable and bestowed by our Creator. all Americans should believe that both rights and morals come from a higher power, and then we can agree on what is moral, at least to a large degree. Maybe there will be some variance in the details, but we can agree on most morals, and we can agree that you can't just take away our rights. But those that want to take away our rights, and those that want to make immorality, the tolerance of immorality, the only remaining moral virtue, well, these are the people that now are the truth tellers. These are the people that get to decide what information we're allowed to have access to. And some people really drive me crazy, like Bill Maher, who will talk about how terrible wokeism is and then buy into it because he buys, even though he doesn't like wokeism, he still buys their concept of justice. Ask him what Trump is guilty of, and he'll just give you a sideways smirk and say, come on, we all know he's guilty. I don't have to defend that. Now, that's what they do. And it's absolutely insane. You can boil the entire left narrative down to two things. 50% of it is, if the people are left free, white men will get all the spoils. So we have to end freedom to provide equity. That's half of their belief system. The other half of their narrative is, if people are free, they will destroy the environment and we will all die. And they're free to tell us that over and over and over again, because again, not only don't they believe in truth, but they control the media, they control big tech, they control social media, they control all of the things that disseminate information to us, and then they censor it. And, you know, it's possible China's not on board with the New World Order. I don't think they are, because they seem to be doing their own thing, but they're funding all of the stuff related to the New World Order. They're funding the pro-Hamas things happening in the United States. They're funding Black Lives Matter. They're funding Antifa. And they're doing that because, while they may not agree with everything the New World Order wants, they certainly agree with destroying the United States of America, which seems to be what they want. Now, the left likes to say they just hate Trump. But of the 1,265 people arrested and charged with crimes relating to January 6, 2021, they're all going to end up out of jail, with the exception of maybe 6 or 7 of them, maybe 12 of them, whatever it was, that were convicted of something relating to an insurrection. The rest of them, they're all eventually going to be let out. The worst crime any of them are going to be found guilty of, other, again, maybe 12, is trespassing. And they're still going to be hated on the left. Kyle Rittenhouse, he's guilty of defending himself against several people who are trying to kill him. The left hates him. Thomas Sowell, arguably the greatest living economist in the world, And I believe he'd have a Nobel Prize if he were simply white. But as a black conservative, he is a member of the most hated group in the world to the left. What the left loves is power, and they hate anyone who tries to deny giving it to them. So black conservatives, you know, threaten that narrative, and so they're hated. Asian Americans, they threaten that narrative, and so they get beat up regularly. The Jewish population, you know, they threaten that narrative, and so they're hated. That is how that works. And because they don't believe in truth, all of a sudden, you know, Bubba Watson sees a little pole on an electric garage door opener that disengages it, which you need in case the power goes out, and he calls it a noose, and the media goes crazy. You know, Jesse Smollett, still in many circles considered a victim for paying two men to beat him up. Well, if you don't believe in truth, why not? Donald Trump being evil. You don't have to point to any specific reason that he's evil. You just call him evil and keep saying it, and people start to believe he's evil because these people are taught that there is no such thing as truth. So it doesn't matter whether you can give a reason why he's evil. You just call him evil, and that's what he becomes. And it's not just Trump. The left hates the political right. It's, you know, they would move much further than just throwing Trump in jail if they could. They're throwing people in jail for peacefully protesting abortions. They've actually moved from abortions being a necessary evil to abortions being like a good thing to do. You know, championing women that have had abortions for having had abortions. My God, that's killing a baby. I get the argument that sometimes it is a greater evil to make the woman carry the child. I get the argument. I don't know that I agree with the argument, but I can at least understand it. I don't understand the championing of having an abortion, of killing an unborn baby, as if that is a good thing. You know, we don't agree with the political left today on what the word evil means. We agree evil is evil. We don't agree on what it means. Racism. We don't agree on what it means. Fascism. I use the definition of fascism that was created by Giovanni Gentile. He was the philosopher in Italy that made the term up. He actually created fascism, so I go with his definition. The left doesn't like using actual definitions of fascism because it would point to them. What they like to do is they like to say this is what fascism looks like. Oh, and by the way, this is on the right. And of course, they'll selectively choose what fascism looks like, not necessarily being what fascism really looks like. And then they will pick and choose what things on the right they're going to compare it to. That's how they do things. And it all stems from not believing that any such thing as truth really exists and taking away agency and saying that at the end of the day, not only are we all the same, but we don't really make any decisions in our lives, that we are mere meat machines. And think about that. If you're a meat machine, there's really no reason to keep you alive other than your ability to perform the work they want you to perform and your ability to pay taxes. So that's how bad things are in this country. And ladies and gentlemen, voting for Trump might buy us a little more time to try to fix things. But with our intelligence services controlling our government, there's only so much any elected official can do. Buying time is obviously a good start. So please, yes, vote for Trump, but vote for other Republicans. But understand, we don't save this country without doing it through other means. And just like that, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time, but I did get through everything I wanted to cover. We talked about, you know, just how bad things are in our country and a little bit at the beginning about how we got here, you know, teaching hate in our schools, which of course needs to stop. As always, thanks for tuning in. Please tell others who might be interested in cutting through the chaos to listen in either on Saturday and Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time or on podcast whenever they have the time. And we will see you next week at the same time and place where it will once again be time to get involved and to get loud on America.